Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at comfortkeepers.com.
In Michigan, immigrants being held inside detention centers often have no idea when their cases will be resolved. This is the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. Dozens of people have been held for over 6 months. For some, it has been closer to a year. That is as the Trump administration makes good on its promise to launch the largest deportation program in history. IPR's Claire Keenan-Kurgan has our story today from one detention center in northern Michigan about the psychological impact of being detained with no clear sense of when it will end.
For many of the people detained at Northlake Processing Center, there's no way to know how long they'll be there. Kamal Tajani, who's been at Northlake in Baldwin since October, says he feels abandoned.
Nobody cares about you. You know, you call your friends, some friends, and, you know, they don't pick up.
Tajani is originally from Nigeria and first came to the United States back in 2017 to go to college in Chicago. There, he met his now wife, who's originally from Georgia. They found an apartment in Chicago together, and he worked night shifts as a maintenance technician. He had overstayed his student visa when he was detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement back in October. Without his income, his wife lost their apartment. She had to go back to stay with family in Georgia, and she hasn't been able to make the trip up to Michigan to visit.
I just got married last year, and you want to send me back?
He just got married last year, he says, and now he's separated from his friends, his family, and his wife.
You know, for what, really?
In the 9 months that he's been at Northlake, he's gotten to know another one of the men in his unit, named Stanley Minjale. Minjale has also been at Northlake for 9 months. He was working as a nursing assistant in the Chicago region when he was detained.
It's quite challenging. It's not easy to be here for that long period of time without freedom, just doing the same thing every day, the same routine.
Minjale has a son who's almost two. He was just about 1 year old when Minjale was detained.
I can't leave a one-year boy, a toddler, just like that. That means he's going to grow up without a father.
Tajani and Minjale are two who have spent months together in the same unit. But as of March, there were around 100 people, including women, from all over the world who had been at Northlake for 6 months or longer. The average length of stay there is 6 weeks. Minjale and Tajani are still at Northlake partly because they are still fighting their cases. But the process for doing so is bureaucratic, it's opaque, and because of policy from the Trump administration, they're being detained indefinitely. Tajani says the people around him are depressed.
They don't know when they're going to go out. They don't know if they're going to go out here in America or they're going to go back to their country.
Northlake operated as a private prison for years before it was a detention center. Today, not much has changed beyond the facility's name. Over half of the people held there, as of March, had no criminal convictions or pending charges, like Tajani. They're held as immigration violators, a civil charge.
In theory, well, legally speaking, people are being held administratively, but the experiences they're having while they're detained are very, very similar, if not identical, to the experience that any incarcerated person is having.
Caitlin Patler, a sociologist at the University of California, Berkeley, studies the effects of U.S. immigration policies. Patler says, unlike people who are held in jails or prisons for crimes they committed, many immigrants have no sense of when they'll be released.
They don't know, and there are really very few constitutional limits on the length of detention.
The not knowing when a release will take place, coupled with an immigrant's experience inside detention, leads to poorer health outcomes for those detained. That's according to Dr. Altaf Sadi. She's a neurologist at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston and has been researching the health impacts of long stays inside immigration detention.
Being isolated from their family for months, their children for months, can be psychologically devastating.
And then on top of that, they may also be facing precarious conditions inside detention centers. Her research has shown health outcomes worsened with each month in detention. Immigration officials have said that detention is the best way to make sure people are actually processed for removal from the United States. But for immigrants inside, this means they're stuck, not knowing when they will see their family and friends again. Stanley Manjale, the nursing assistant, tries to stay positive.
I'm depressed when I think about, you know, my family out there. So I always try my best not to think about it, just to be strong and read a lot of books, to interact with these people, like playing cards, playing chess, you know, to buy time. But it's not easy. It's very hard.
Today, Manjale is appealing his deportation order, but he doesn't know when the immigration court will make a final decision on his case. Until then, he remains at Northlake. For IPR News, I'm Claire Keenan-Kurgan.
Michelle Jokic-Polo and Adam Yahya Reyes from Michigan Public contributed to this story. Finally today, we need to say goodbye to Claire Keenan-Kurgan, whose work here at Interlochen Public Radio, including the story you just heard, has been exemplary since 2024. Claire is off to new challenges, and she's with me now to reflect just a little bit on her time at IPR. Hey, Claire.
Hey, Ed. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so you've been here 2 years. You started as an intern. We kept finding ways to keep you. When you think back on the time you've spent at IPR, what's a moment, an audio moment that sort of sticks in your head?
I chose this one from the first summer that I was here. So I was still an intern, and I had just kind of stumbled upon this program at the library, at the Traverse City Library, in the children's garden right outside the library, actually. And they were running a summer program for kids with different disabilities.
Okay, so we're about to play this tape, and I think what we're going to hear is a butterfly release and these kids naming the butterfly they're going to release. Let's listen.
Mason Jr.
Mason Jr. is one suggestion after the garden summer intern.
Okay, what's another name?
Moana.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We are going to let go of Mason Jr. Moana.
Sarah Cashel carefully unzips a mesh cage and cups a painted lady butterfly in her palm.
You want to take a look before we let him go?
She opens her hand.
Oh, God. Whoa. Is that right on his head?
The butterfly crashes into one child's head and takes off.
They gave it two names.
Yeah. Brilliant. When you think about the many, many stories you've covered here, what sticks with you? I'm sure there's a lot of things. I'm sure it's hard to pick just one, but give me an example.
One moment that really sticks for me is the first fall that I was here. So right after the summer internship I had, it was the election. It was 2024. Ellie Katz and I covered the Trump rally in Traverse City together.
This was the one at Cherry Capital Airport where the then candidate Trump was like 3 hours late because he had been recording a podcast in Texas.
Yeah, which we didn't know at the time.
Right.
We were kind of just sitting there waiting for him. And then someone announced that he had been taping an episode of the Joe Rogan podcast in Austin. His flight hadn't even taken off yet to come to Traverse City. So I think by the time he finally showed up, it was almost 11 p.m. So us and all of these very antsy national political reporters were hanging out at Cherry Capital Airport for, about 6 hours.
And you came back, and I remember we had snacks, and it was the wee hours of the morning, and you and Ellie turned a story.
Yeah, and we were all here until, I think, 2 a.m. at the station.
It's a glamorous life, isn't it?
Sometimes.
Claire, thank you so much for your work here, and best wishes.
You're welcome, Ed. Thank you for being such a good news director here.
Ah, jeez. That is the Up North Lowdown on this Thursday, June 18th. Thanks, Claire. Thanks to all of you for listening. We're glad you're here.